from the received text into the Kannada language. Now, I have been using that word Kannada more than one time. Here is an example how it sounds. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Devaru lokada mele eshto preetiyannittu tanna obbane maganannu kalisidanu. Aatananu nambuva yavanadaru nashavagade nitya jeevavannu hondabekendu kalisikottanu. Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Ellaru papa maadi devara mahimeyannu hondade hogiddare, aa papavu koduvantaha sambala marana, aadare devara uchitarthavadantaha varavu idu nitya jeeva vagide. This is the language that I preach in, I teach in, our outreach ministry, our village evangelism ministry, and now the Bible translation project that is underway. First example, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, the Bible says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed." The words "born again" has been conveniently translated as reincarnation in the Kannada Bible. One of the lies of the Garden of Eden. "Thou shalt not die," deathlessness. "Thou shalt be like God," deification. Deathlessness in Hinduism is reincarnation. The second example is the word baptism. There is only one baptism the New Testament speaks about, and that is baptism by immersion. The translators have used the Sanskrit word diksha snana. And diksha snana does not mean baptism by immersion. It means sprinkle baptism. I don't know how sprinkling can be tied with baptism of the New Testament. The third example is the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has been removed and replaced with the word Swami, S-W-A-M-Y. Swami means teacher. It means guru. In other words, a leader. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was more than just a teacher or a leader. He was God in the flesh.
Amen.
But without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
I have just shared three examples, but there is a plethora of such erroneous words that have been interjected into the Kannada Bible, and it has done more harm to the Christians, Bible-believing Christians, who do not know better. And as Dr. Strauss was sharing, when we go behind the pulpit and use such a translation, it becomes needful for us to make the necessary corrections, help the people to understand that this word is not the right word to give us the truth in the context of this passage of Scripture. In the last 12 years, God's people have been indoctrinated in this. And now when they open their Bible and when they are reading through those verses, very quickly they make the changes, because they now have the truth. But what a greater blessing it will be for them to have the entire New Testament, Lord willing, and I say Lord willing, by next year.
Amen.
I am in the book of Jude, and once I finish the book of Jude, we'll begin the book of Revelation. I have shared some things with Dr. Strauss, and he has made some suggestions as well, and looking forward to when this project will be completed.
Wow.
And the Kannada speaking people will have the first accurate sound translation of God's holy word from the received text.
Amen.
Not a translation of a translation.
Right.
I think we have too many of those.
Right. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
It is a translation from the Greek into the Kannada language.
Yes.
Thank you for remembering us in your prayers. It is your prayers that sustain our home, our hearts, and our harvest work for Him. We certainly do appreciate the ministry of Bible Baptist Church, and as we continue to serve the Lord through church planting and the Bible College and a theological seminary, pray that the Lord will send many more men our way who have a desire to prepare for the work of the ministry. The education is available. The Lord has blessed us with a facility. We need more students. We need to see more New Testament churches planted.
Yes.
All across India, not just in the South, but all over India. And for us to accomplish this, we need your prayers and the Lord's help, so that the pillar and ground of the truth, Baptist Church, will continue to move forward by the grace of God and only for the glory of God.
Amen.
Nationals, training nationals.
Amen.
That is the only way. There is no other way.
Amen.
India is now close to foreign missions. With the radical militant Hindu government in power, the Prime Minister of India, Narendra Modi, is anti-Christian. He has the spirit of the Antichrist. And with him being in power for the last 3 years, very subtly, he is trying to bring an end to Christian activities. We have also been told by the year 2023, if he is re-elected next year for his second term, his goal is to see India Hinduized. Which means all Christians must reconvert back into Hinduism. Muslims must reconvert back into Hinduism. If you disapprove or not willing to do so, he has made a very bold and blunt statement: leave the country.
Wow.
Leave India and go to your Christian nation or go to your Islamic nation, but you have no place in India. But the Word of God clearly says that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. As long as we are fulfilling the Great Commission, lo, I am with you always, is the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ,
amen,
has made to us, and we want to continue serving the Lord all the days of our life. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. I always look forward to visiting churches, not just reporting to supporting churches, but also to make new contacts, present the ministry, share our testimony, and talk about the wonderful things that the Lord is doing in the nation of India. It is encouraging, it is edifying, it is energizing, and we want to do more exploits for our Savior.
Amen.
To be found faithful in His sight. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verses 23 and 24, I would just like to take the next few minutes and share a few pertinent truths from this passage of Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 12 is a familiar passage in the Old Testament where Samuel testifies of his integrity. He reproves the people for their ungratefulness or ingratitude and even warns the people about God's impending judgment through thunder and rain by completely destroying their harvest, but shows compassion and exhibits God's mercy as God would show mercy upon these people, provided they fear God, provided they exercise and display the fear of God in their lives. I would like to read these two verses, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 23 and 24. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. Serving the Lord by loving him and serving him in his fear. Now the scriptures make it very clear in Matthew chapter 22 verses 37 through 40 and Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 4, 5 and 6. Love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, stated again in the New Testament for our admonition and our edification. Nonetheless, serving the Lord in the fear of God is very essential in the sight of God. Not just serving him, but serving him because we love him. And we love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
But this service must be couched in the atmosphere of the fear of God. One thing that really got a hold of my heart since my seminary training at Tabernacle is that the call to salvation is a call to service. Paul's testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and who arose again. The words of the Apostle Paul in his personal testimony to the local church established in the city of Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Amen. A parallel passage again is Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. Once again, a very familiar verse to each one of us. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For me to know that which is good and acceptable will consequently result in the perfect will of God established in my life. This is a pointed truth that the Apostle Paul or Pastor Paul is preaching and teaching to the local church established in the city of Rome through the book of Romans, conforming to the will of God begins with salvation and requires dedication, requires transformation. It requires separation from the world.
Amen.
It requires the exercising of spiritual gifts within our assembly, the Lord's church, and also requires, according to Romans 12, leading a godly Christian life.
Yes.
Serve God.
Yes.
But serve Him in loving Him, but also in the fear of God. There are over 100 phobias that man wrestles with today. Over 100 phobias. How about theosphobia? The fear of God. Will you keep one finger in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and turn back with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Will you please consider these verses that talk about this truth? Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Verse 13 of the same chapter, the Bible says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him. Serving him is preceded by the fear of God. This is where there is a lacuna within Christians all across the world. And shall swear by his name. Verse 24 of that same chapter, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. Chapter 8 of Deuteronomy and verse 6. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Verse 10 of that same chapter, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 6, chapter 10 and verse 12 of Deuteronomy. And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve him. So you find all three of those words. Love, the fear of God, and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Verse 20, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. Chapter 13 of Deuteronomy and verse 4. The Bible says, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. Verse 11 of the same chapter. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. Chapter 14 and verse 23. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God, and in the place he shall choose to place his name, there. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. Love him, serve him, but in the fear of God. This is not just an Old Testament teaching. It is also found in the New Testament books, such as Luke chapter 12 verses 4 and 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, and many more. Fear God. Serve him sincerely, faithfully, truly, wholly, energetically, gratefully, in the fear of God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The Lord cannot use or will not use desecrated vessels. The Lord will not use desecrated vessels. The Lord is not glorified by a cheap imitation, by a fractured devotion. It takes the fear of God in my life to glorify my God in the ministry that the God, that the Lord has graciously given to me and my family. This is exactly what Samuel is talking about as he places this very pertinent question before himself and before these people. Paraphrasing what he says, if we were to ask ourselves the same question tonight, this is the question that we can place before ourselves. What is the caliber of my service to my Savior? Do I just love him? Or do I fear him? For him to be pleased with my life. As we look through 1 Samuel chapter 12 and consider the life of Samuel, here are seven truths that talk about an individual who is a God-fearing person. A God-fearing person. Let me take you through this with the time that I have left. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 3. Let me read 1, 2, and 3. And Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Verse 3. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. A God-fearing person is conscious and cognizant of the presence of God in his life. Never to trivialize his person or his presence in my life. This message is first of all to me. To trivialize his person or his presence in my life is indicative the fear of God does not exist. Samuel was very conscious. He was very sensitive as he places these thoughts before these people. And after each question, there is a question mark. And he says, have I done this? Have I done that? Have I done this to you? You tell me. I will confess before my God. A God fearing person is conscious or cognizant of the presence of God in his or her life. Regardless of where I am, what I may be doing, Jesus Christ is omnipresent, he is omniscient, he is omnipotent. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mm. He is God, and I am only a man. Mm-hmm. He is my creator. I am his creation. Number two, in the same chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5, and they said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. In other words, Samuel was faultless before these people. And they answered, he is witness. You are saying the truth. You are a man of integrity, Samuel. A God-fearing person is not only conscious, but he is also an individual of concern. Concerned about his own testimony, the sanctity of his Christian testimony, concerned about his witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Samuel was simply saying, I know that I stand faultless before my God. I am a man of integrity. The psalmist David in Psalm chapter 25 and verse 21, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Psalm chapter 26 and verse 1, the Bible says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I will not slide. A God-fearing man is conscious and cognizant about the presence of God in his life. A God-fearing individual is also concerned about his integrity. Number three, chapter 12, verses 10. Chapter 12, verse 10, and they cried unto me, unto the Lord, and said, we have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord, and have served Baalim and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. He was conscious. He was concerned about his integrity. But note also, he was convicted of sin. There is a conviction of sin in his life that he makes very clear before these people. As you tie that verse with verse 17 of the same chapter, is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. To be convinced and convicted takes authority. And that authority is the word of God.
Amen.
Period. Nothing else. The inspired, the infallible, the inextricable divine revelation given to all mankind that has the power to save the vilest sinner. It is these words that show us what is right and wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is holiness and what is unholy. It takes authority. It has a source, and the source is the Bible. Convictions are built on certainties and not on assumptions. Convictions are built on principles and not on possibilities. There is only one thing that standeth sure, and that is God's holy word. Amen. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Amen. Conviction. It brings conviction. And when we do not have Bible convictions, we will not pursue Bible standards. And the Bible is not the final authority. It is the only authority for faith, convictions, and practice. The only authority. There is nothing before it. There is nothing after it. There is nothing more to explore beside it. It is the Word of God.
Amen.
Number 4, chapter 12 and verse 14. If he will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall both he and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. He was conscious. He was concerned about his integrity. Conviction is seen, and here in verse 14, commitment. A commitment to obedience.
Yes.
A commitment to obedience. In chapter 15 of 1 Samuel and verses 22 and verse 23, the Bible says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of God, he hath also rejected thee from being king. A commitment to obedience. Number 5, verse 18. So Samuel called unto the Lord. This is tied with verse 17, of course, in its context. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord. There's your word. Feared the Lord and Samuel. Conscious, concern, conviction, commitment. Here's the next one. Contrition. A broken heart. Confession of sin. Sins in their life brought blessing in the life of Samuel and also of these people. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18, and Psalm chapter 51, verse 17 talk about this truth. The Lord is always nigh unto those of a broken heart. A heart of contrition, a heart of confession, a heart that is sensitive and responds sensibly to the leading, the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, the indwelling God in our lives, the third person of the Trinity. There is a call to contrition. Chapter 12 and verse 23, two more. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Communion. The ministry of prayer. This is what this verse is saying. God fearing people converse with God. In other words, God-fearing people talk to God. And that is our ministry of prayer. The more time we spend on our knees, the better standing we have before God. Just as a camel can only bear its burdens when it's down on its knees, not when it's standing up. The camel must condescend. The camel must come down to the ground level. Only then the burdens are placed upon the camel. It can be goods or it can be people. Then the camel lifts itself up and begins its journey, fulfills its responsibility. Here's my final thought. Chapter 12 and verse 25. 24 and 25. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Conscious, concern, conviction, commitment, contrition, communion, and finally, courage. Courage to face the king. Admitting God's word into our lives produces courage to take a stand for the Lord and his word. It is very clear, since unrighteousness or righteousness is not or never will be possible in such an unrighteous world, it takes courage for Bible-believing Christians to do that which is right. That which glorifies God. And here is this man, Samuel, bold, with his chest out, perhaps, and with the voice that God had given to him. It is because he exercised the fear of God. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. He stood before the king and confronted him with boldness. And God blessed Samuel. Seven marks of a God-fearing individual. Amen. I believe that this finds application in my life and each one of our lives as we seek to serve our Savior through Bible Baptist Church, through the ministries established halfway across the world, through the Lord's candlesticks here in the United States of America and other countries as well. It is very necessary for us to understand this biblical truth. We are saved to serve.
Amen.
Serve him by not just loving him, but serve him by fearing him. In the fear of God, there is great reward. Will you please close your eyes and bow your heads? Dr. Strauss.
Thinking on this message, I wonder if in your own heart you would say, by the grace of God, I'm going to serve the Lord and the fear of the Lord. I'm going to commit my heart and life to the Lord to serve him and to fear him and demonstrate this in my life and in my walk. I just wonder if we would examine our hearts and lives and we can say that. Can we say that in our heart? So let's look inwardly for a moment about that. We're going to serve the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Now, Father, I pray you might help all of us to take to heart the strong message here about the fear of the Lord and live in light of this truth. We pray that you might bless each one. Help us to commit ourselves once again to thee and have a seriousness about serving thee and a commitment. We thank thee for the challenge of Scripture. We pray you might bless us now and help us as we continue the service, we ask. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.